And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, today we're going to be looking at a very, it's a deep subject, really deep. The deep state. The deep state. You know, it seems that, according to all of these alternate right news sites, according to people like Rush Limbaugh, Breitbart, Drudge, InfoWars, and other sources, there is a shadow government that nobody seems exactly able to fill out. It's a shadow government. Now, shadow means it's behind. It's, you know, whatever's real is casting a shadow. But in this case, the shadow seems to be controlling the real. And they call it also the deep state. There's the state that we see, the government. But there's a government behind that. There's the shadow again. And they call that the deep state. Now, this has to do with the intelligence networks. There are at least 17. I can't name them all at once. If you put me to the test, I could probably name 8 or 9. But give me a couple of days. Of course, I could come up with the others. But there's some you don't know about, like the National Reconnaissance Office. It's in a huge building in Virginia. I've driven by the highway there, and I see the huge building. The National Reconnaissance Office, what does it do? Well, it evidently takes pictures of all the earth, everything that's going on. Well, I thought we could get that with Google. Well, this supposedly is more accurate, and theoretically you can read the title on a golf ball from a couple miles up on these satellites. Or it also has a fleets of aircraft that are extremely accurate in their aerial surveillance. And it provides its intelligence to these various intelligence agencies. The National Reconnaissance Office. I understand that during the Clinton administration, it not only did military targets, but it also surveyed agricultural fields around the world. So if you weren't supposed to be planting something because the deep state or maybe the agriculture department or the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service or something, or the Environmental Protection Agency, they've got hundreds and hundreds of various alphabet agencies, that's what I call them, didn't want you to, then, of course, you'd be called on the carpet. So they take pictures of you. And if you're a farmer and you have a permit to plant peanuts, but you're planting corn on your land that year, they can get you for that. Now, I didn't even know about peanuts, but there are many other crops like that. Until I met a man who was going to retire from the Air Force, and I said, "What are you going to do when you retire?" "Well, I'm going to be a peanut farmer if I can buy the land." I said, "Where at?" He's, "Well, in my home state of Oklahoma." And I told the man, "Well, plenty of land there. I've been to Oklahoma, a lot of extra land out." He says, "Well, you know, there's only certain parcels that allow you to plant peanuts." He says, "You might be 50 acres that they allow you to plant peanuts, but the next 50 acres right next to it, they say no peanuts. So I can't plant peanuts. I can't sell them. They'd put me in prison if I did." I said, "Well, who in heaven's name would do that? This is America. You can plant whatever you want if it'll grow and sell it." "Oh, no, it's not. The Agriculture Department tells everybody what they can plant and where and keeps track of it all." Well, I found out that was true. Only certain people can plant peanuts, and then other people have wheat, and other people have, it's like a communist system, a collectivist system. The shadow government seems to control everything today. They tell you what you can do, what you can't do, who you can do it with. And of course, they carry on murders and assassination across the globe. How do I know that? Well, because I read. And I've been discovering these murders for many, many years. And all of my friends in the know realize how many are being killed almost as I speak today. There's probably somebody in the United States, certainly if you count around the world, being assassinated by American forces with drones, no less. But of course, there are many ways to kill, not just with drones overhead. But we know that WikiLeaks, and isn't that interesting? WikiLeaks, that's part of the deep government, part of the shadow government, the deep state. WikiLeaks recently leaked the fact that the National Security Agency has something called Vault 7. And Vault 7 was opened up by WikiLeaks, and 8,000 documents came forth, and we found that our televisions, yes, your television, your phone, even when your phone is on the hook, even when your television is supposedly turned off, it's still recording what's going on in the room. So you're sleeping with your wife at night, it's recording everything you're doing. How? With the telephone. And probably with a light fixture. It probably has cameras in it too. Everything. This is called the Internet of Things. Three words. The Internet of Things. You didn't know that your television, your telephone, your radio, your everything, your refrigerator, your electric piano, everything has recording devices, surveillance equipment in it. It's recording everything you do. Everything you do. And it all goes to the National Security Agency. And the National Security Agency, the NSA, that is in Virginia and also in Utah, has a gigantic facility there, can be asked, what were you, Joe Schmo, doing, let's say, on February the 23rd at 9:17 in the morning, and they can look for it and find it with their computers. Well, they say he was out working in his garden that day, or he was talking on the phone with Bill Manafort or whatever, or he was murdering somebody at certain restaurant. Who knows what they'll find out about you? Well, this can't be, you say. Well, Vault 7 showed that it could be and is. And as our esteemed FBI director, Mr. James Comey, said, everybody is being wiretapped today. They don't even call it wiretapping anymore. Of course, President Trump declared that his phones at the Trump Towers were wiretapped by President Obama. When he was a candidate, when Trump was just a candidate. And all the Democrats are saying he's a liar because he said he was wiretapped. He wasn't wiretapped, they said. Why? The President of the United States has no authority to wiretap. Oh, baloney. He's got those 17 intelligence agencies. Mr. Comey said at least 40 people in any of six different intelligence agencies would have the authority to see, you know, wiretap manuscripts. Let's see, 40 times 6, that's 240 people. If they can see the wiretap, then who does the wiretap? So there come to be hundreds and hundreds of people that could have done it. Of course, Judge Napolitano of Fox News, he found out that a British intelligence service had wiretapped Mr. Trump. And he was fired for that. They said, no, it's not true. Britain complained. And so Fox News fired Judge Napolitano. Now, this is what these intelligence services often do, you see. If there's a law in America that says you can't tap citizens, wiretap them, then they will get their friends in the British intelligence to tap them. And then when the American Intelligence Service, CIA or NSA or whichever they direct the military intelligence, whatever agency, is called before Congress, they can tell the truth. We did not wiretap that gentleman. Of course, they know that Britain was wiretapping them. Or maybe they have the Israeli services. Or maybe the German intelligence services. Or the French intelligence services. Oh, there are many avenues you could use. And you can still be honest in saying, we did not wiretap them. But of course they did. They wiretapped even Senator Dianne Feinstein. She was head at the time of the Senate Intelligence Committee. They wiretapped her, and she found out about it, and they admitted it. She was investigating the torturing of suspects by the CIA in American prisons around the world, and particularly in Iraq and Syria and so forth. And they wanted to find out how much intelligence she knew, how much she knew about this torture operation. So they wiretapped her. They can wiretap anybody. They could be wiretapping me right now. It is foolish to say that they did not wiretap someone, because there are thousands of wiretaps going on all across the United States each and every day. And Vault 7 shows that. Why would they put wiretap devices, recording devices, in refrigerators and microwaves if they weren't going to use them? Of course, they're using them all the time. And Vault 7, of course, revealed that they also are wiretapping your automobile. What are they wiretapping? Well, maybe the telephone in your, you know, the mobile phone, your vehicle, but also the radio, but also the wiring, also the lights, also all the knobs, everything. And they're also able to place little black boxes with bombs in your car motor. But now they go beyond that. They can explode your car motor, or they can take over your wheel and your transmission and your brakes from a remote location and start driving your car for you. Now, how would you like that? Be going down the road at a non-law breaking 55 miles an hour down the highway, and suddenly your car takes off 65, 75, 85, 95, 105, 135. You scream out, please stop, please stop. You're desperately punching at the brake with your feet. Please stop, stop. And then you try to turn the car off the road. No, it won't go off the road. The wheel doesn't work for you. But you see the wheel turning. It's turning and it's heading the car right toward a telephone pole. And the next second, of course, you're dead. And then they announced that you had drugs in your system. You had alcohol in your system. Of course, you didn't. But they need a cover story. That's why he went crazy. That's why he had road rage. He went nuts on the freeway. But you didn't. Your car was being guided by a nutty person who works for the deep state. Now, this deep state includes all of these 17 intelligence agencies, that is, and many more that we don't even know about. And they all operate with black budgets. You see, the president doesn't even give them their budget. It's all decided by, well, somebody secretly. And they call them black budgets because we don't know how much it is. But if the CIA or the NSA doesn't get enough money from the Congress, they simply run drug operations. They work with the cartels down in Mexico and South America and Afghanistan. Of course, Afghanistan, we're bringing more heroin into the United States and the world than from any other place, from Afghanistan. And the American troops are there to protect it. What do they do with the money? Well, they what do people usually do with money? I want to go over some of the names of agents, known agents. These are known, admitted agents that the CIA or the NSA, and let me first go over those two agencies with you. Let's talk about them. The CIA and the National Security Agency, they seem to be the biggest the largest agencies. I'm not sure they are. The CIA came out of World War II. We had a group of intelligence agents called OSS, Wild Bill Donovan and others. And it turned into a law in 1950 that Truman signed into law, setting up or establishing the Central Intelligence Agency. Before that, we didn't have any intelligence agency. But they thought they needed an official agency to go out and spy on the rest of the world. And, of course, to lie, to create lies for us. Now, it's sort of like that movie, I think of, what was it? I forget the name of it now. It was with Jack Nicholson was the main character. And he was a Marine colonel or something that had overseen some secret murders. And I think Tom Cruise, the actor, was the attorney. And they had Mr. Nicholson on the stand. And Mr. Cruise said, well, all we're trying to get at is the truth here. And Nicholson, the character he played, responded, you can't handle the truth. Well, that's what they think about you and me. You see, we're stupid. We're just everyday citizens. And everybody in America, mainly, except for the little certain tribe, you know who I'm talking about, everybody is an idiot, a nincompoop. You're a jackass. You don't know anything. And you can't handle the truth. Now, they evidently know all kind of things about UFOs. And every once in a while, they'll release documents that have black marks on them. You know, this paragraph has to be redacted. That means held back. We couldn't possibly tell the common citizen what this paragraph says. And this whole page needs to be blacked out. And this page. And maybe out of a 100-page document, there's only 5 or 6 that are readable. But if you say, I believe in UFOs, they laugh at you. What an idiot. Surely you don't believe in unidentified flying objects. Well, why is the government covering them up then? Why are all these documents that they finally release 20, 30 years later, if they ever release them, why are they still retaining certain information? Why don't they just put them out and make everybody laugh? I mean, we all need a good laugh, don't we? I don't understand why they don't have the UFO laughing hour. And the government just put out all these documents and let us all laugh about them. Laugh at these stupid fools who believe in UFOs. Well, you're an idiot. But then, wait just a minute. What does this document say? It's a report of 3 UFOs that were over Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania in 1973. It says that they, well, that part's blanked out. And then the witness so-and-so said, well, that part's blanked out. And it appears that blank, blank, that's port's blanked out. Well, you don't learn anything. Why couldn't they just tell you? Then you could laugh about it. But now you can't laugh about it. And it seems that people who really investigate UFOs, many of them end up dead. What's that all about? Well, they have accidents. There's so many accidents going on. Now, I don't mean to talk about UFOs. Maybe you're laughing at me now. Why, Tex Mars must believe in UFOs. Well, I can see that the government is covering up all this information about UFOs. I want to know what the government knows. That's all I want to know. Isn't that enough? Well, the deep state seems to know much more than we do. And they laugh at us while they're hiding it, while they're keeping it from us. Hey, you're an American. You deserve to know all the information, unless it's a national security risk. Are UFOs a national security risk? Are we at danger from them? Are they going to come and take the whole world over? Are they going to end America forever? What's going on? Well, if you believe that, of course, you're a stupid UFO believer. Well, the government is too. They're all nuts. This is an open-air lunatic museum. It seems the deep state, the shadow government. I want to tell you that according to Wikipedia, which is a lying institution, no doubt started by the deep state. Wikipedia says that the National Security Agency, the NSA, alone has about 47,000 employees. That's a lot of employees. 47,000. That's as big as a medium-sized city. Now, the CIA has 21,000. But there are all these people in embassies around the world that work for the CIA that they say are not CIA. They're like a public relations person or a cultural Activities Representative or some nonsense. I've met him when I was overseas in the Air Force in Thailand and Vietnam and elsewhere. They come up and they're in civilian clothes and they say, I'm the cultural attaché at the embassy. And I look them over and I know what they are. They're CIA agents, operatives. They're everywhere. They comb the places. Now here are a few you may not have heard of. Now I'm telling you right now, these people worked for the CIA. Now some of them worked for the NSA also, and some of them worked for the military intelligence. And some of them worked for these other intelligence groups. But let's just talk about the CIA, okay? Because a lot of information has got out on that. Jerry Garcia, you know who he is? Well, he was the head of the Grateful Dead. Who are the Grateful Dead? Well, that was an LSD rock group. People grooved to their music. The groupies went with them everywhere. Yeah, they were the Grateful Dead. It seemed that their records never sold any copies. It seemed like they never had million best-selling records, but they kept right on touring the United States. They had plenty of money for their big tours. It just seemed that nobody ever bought their music. Well, I'm sure their real groupies did. You say, isn't that funny? They've never had a song in the Billboard list, but they're so popular. Well, it seems that somebody was paying their way. They were employed by the CIA. You say, oh, that can't be. Well, he was taking acid. He was recommending to the kids, take LSD, man. Expand your brain. Yeah, burn your brain out. Was that a CIA plot? Did they want to burn the brains out of these kids? Did they want this to, were they experimenting with drugs on our children? Is that what the CIA was doing? Well, yes, indeed. Because people like Timothy Leary, remember him? Tune in, tune out, drop out, whatever he said. I forget for the popular slogan. Timothy Leary, Yale at Princeton or one of these big schools. Turns out he worked for the CIA. He was recommending everybody take LSD. And he was given all this publicity. Now there are thousands of people taking LSD, but it seemed that Timothy Leary just attracted all that publicity. And of course, when you find out that the CIA owns entire publishing houses, yeah, you've heard about them in New York, all those publishing houses. Many of them are run by the CIA. They publish the books they want. They don't publish the books that they don't want, like truth-telling books. But Gerald Hurd, Timothy Leary, and of course, the famous Jerry Garcia, all were using psychedelic drugs. And then there's the feminist movement. Why, we know that it was started thanks to none other than Gloria Steinem. She's still around now. She started a magazine called Ms. Magazine. Now we find out that Ms. Magazine, used to sit on the newsstands, was run by the CIA. And Gloria Steinem, the head of it, the big super feminist, the big woman rabble-rouser, she worked for the CIA. Why, did the CIA found the feminist movement? Were they behind that? Of course they were. I wonder, too, about Playboy, Hugh Hefner. I believe he was. You know, I don't have enough time to investigate the crud, but he was, no doubt. Playboy was a magazine used by them. Even Bill Clinton started with the CIA. He was a little Arkansas boy, but his father was a big, you know, big wig in the Masonic group. And he only applied for one college from high school. Well, you would think that Bill Clinton would want to make sure he goes to a lot of high school, but he only applied to Georgetown University out of Washington, D.C. Well, how would a boy from Arkansas even know about Georgetown? Well, Georgetown, as it turns out, is where most of the CIA agents come out of. Oh. CIA, Bill Clinton. Did you know that we now know that Bill Clinton worked for the CIA? He had long hair, smoked pot and all that. But a lot of them did. And that allowed them to have all these pals and these cronies and to report on what the various groups were doing. He went to Georgetown University. And then, of course, he came back and the CIA seemed to be running the drug cartel that came from Nicaragua and down in Central America and would stop off in Mena, Arkansas, and offload all of their bags of, you know, cocaine and heroin and marijuana. Bill Clinton. You know, it's funny, he knew he would be president. People in Chicago, where it was at, said, he told us, he was just a young man, he said, I'm going to be president. Obama said, they've told me, who are they? They've told me I'm going to be president. I've been chosen. Wow. And he was. He was chosen to be the keynote speaker at the Democrat National Convention before he ran for president. He was auditioned. They say he did pretty well there. It was time for a black man. They wanted a black man. The CIA ran him. Did you know George Herbert Walker Bush? George Herbert Walker Bush was director of the CIA. He was the head guy there. Now, if you go all the way back to the CIA, you find, and the FBI, you find they work very close together, of course. It seems that Ted Cruz's dad, this came up during the campaign, and boy, they tried to cover up as fast as they could. But somebody came up with a picture of him demonstrating with Lee Harvey Oswald in New Orleans, the father of Ted Cruz. It seemed that he came out of Cuba, like the others, and he did work with Lee Harvey Oswald, and then when the assassination of JFK was done, he ran up to Canada, hid out there. Wow. You mean Ted Cruz's dad? Yes, Ted Cruz's dad. Well, George Herbert Walker Bush has all kinds of things to do with the CIA. The official documents from all the researchers of the JFK assassination report he worked for the CIA, and he was in Dallas the day JFK was murdered. They even named the CIA boat that was running things back and forth to Cuba and so forth. They call it the Barbara Bush. The USS Barbara Bush. Wow. The whole cast of the JFK assassination had to do with the deep state, with a shadow government. Now, I want to give you a quote here. You know that during the era of John F. Kennedy, he was assassinated in November of 63. And we had the communist conspiracy. Everybody knew of it. From the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, the 60s. It was old hat. You didn't have to tell people there was a communist conspiracy. They knew about it. Everybody did. I was, only, 19 years old. I knew about the communist conspiracy. Nobody even talked about it. I think J. Edgar Hoover had written a book about the communists, and he said that they have an immense conspiracy going on. But JFK talked about a different group. What group was he talking about? Let me read to you. In fact, I'm going to wait till after this break because I want you to get this directly. President John F. Kennedy knew that there was another conspiracy. But beneath the communist conspiracy, there was another conspiracy going on, and it threatened the United States, and it even took the life of John F. Kennedy. What was that conspiracy? I believe the same kind of people, the successors to the men who killed John F. Kennedy, are now alive today working, and if they have the opportunity and are able to cover it up, and I believe they are, they will kill Donald Trump. Be careful, Donald Trump. These men are evil, and they want to kill you. They're so evil, and you're the target now. Are you going to change your policies? Are you going to become a slave to them, or do they have to kill you? I think you already know now, don't you? What are you going to do, Donald Trump? Well, we'll see what John F. Kennedy said about this conspiracy. He said this in a speech given 7 days before his assassination. 1 week before his assassination, he said there is a conspiracy, and he resolved to expose it. We'll hear more in just a few minutes when I return. I'm Tex Mars. So glad to be with you today. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Hey, folks, we've got a great book for you. It's entitled Hidden History. And, you know, I had the author of this book, Donald Jeffries, on my program here. Donald Jeffries. Hey, I want to mention the foreword is written by Roger Stone. You heard of Roger Stone? Well, he's a friend of Donald Trump's, and he's been in the news recently. You know, the CIA, the deep state, and the Democrat Party, and the media that are controlled by the deep state, they all say that Roger Stone is, he might be a Russian agent. Why, they all might work for Russia. Putin is running the whole world. It's Russia we got to worry about. Well, I understand they're going to pull Roger Stone in front of one of those congressional committees. He wrote the foreword to this book, Hidden History. Donald Jeffries is the author. By the way, Roger Stone told the Senate and the House, call me before your committees. Let's get it on, he said. He's pretty bold, isn't he? But Roger Stone says in the last year, there have been two attempts to kill him. One, they wanted to kill him with a substance called polonium, which is based on uranium or some horrible substance. And then more recently, they tried to kill him by automobile. I'm getting ahead of myself here, but maybe he'll be able to tell that to that Senate committee. Because thousands of others have died mysteriously, and I pray for Roger Stone. In fact, I'm praying for Donald Trump. He's an avowed enemy of the shadow government, the deep state, the intelligence agencies plus more. Now, that's why they want to get Trump. That's why they're angry at him. They're gonna try to get him. We have to pray for him. By the way, I would pray for any president, I don't know, Democrat or Republican, that's under threat by these cruds, by these thugs. Well, this is incredible. This book, I think, is the most fascinating book, one of the most fascinating I've ever read. In fact, before this program started, I was sitting right here and I couldn't put the book down. I'm telling you, it's just packed with information. Now, it's just, I think it's like $25 plus $5 shipping and handling. It's 380 pages long. Man, it covers everything from 9/11 to the Oklahoma City bombing, and it goes all the way back in history. Of course, there's the JFK assassination, the Martin Luther King assassination, the Robert Kennedy assassination, even the murder, yes, I said it correctly, the murder of John F. Kennedy Jr. Remember when his airplane crashed, took off from New York, never landed? There's all kind of the Clinton years, all the Clinton body count. It's just this book. Obama, of course, is in there too. Did you know that that Obama, when he got out of college, the first place he worked was a place called Business International? Nobody talked about that. I recognized it immediately. They said he first, out of college, he went to work for Business International up in New England. I knew what Business International was. It's a CIA proprietary group. So he was up there for a couple of years to start off with. They were training him. Here's what you're going to be doing. Here's what you're going to be doing as working for the CIA. Clinton, they trained him too. All of these, all our presidents, except Donald Trump, he was a builder. But they didn't want him. They wanted Hillary Clinton. And she worked for the CIA too. In fact, the CIA had paired her with Saul Alinsky, the communist. She was going to go with him on tour. But they had other plans for her. She married Bill Clinton and things worked out that way. But Hillary was a Manchurian candidate. She's a Manchurian candidate. That's why she ran for president. And they're ticked off that she didn't get it. They would have rigged the election, just as Trump said. But the problem was they didn't think Trump had a chance. And they didn't work hard enough to rig it. Now, Trump says there were 3 or 4 million votes that were illegitimate. Of course there were. If they'd have known that he was going to win, they'd have gotten 5 or 6 million. They'd have made sure. But they messed up, and it was too late. It was election night, and there they came out with the results. Oh, if only they could have gone back a few hours and rigged them. That's pretty hard rigging every state on one day. Hidden History. That's the name of this book by Donald Jeffries. Hidden History. Man, it's tremendous. I want you to buy it, please. $25. You'll be pleased with it. You'll say, wow, I did not know all of these things. I did not know all these things. Well, only this book author knows. He's done a lot of research. Get this book, Hidden History, for $25. Please add $5 shipping and handling. All right, let's return now to our program. By the way, I should have given you our telephone number. I'm sorry. I'm so excited about getting back to the program. You know, I forget things. In fact, I forgot all my notes today. I drove from my office at home to this program today to the office here. And I got here and I said, hey, Wanda, I forgot all my notes. I forgot everything I was going to say today. And poor Wanda, you know, she let me stay here and do some studying. And she went home and got the notes. And it's, I guess we live about 25, 30 minutes from the ministry. And bless her heart, she had to make two trips. But I got it. I got the notes. And that's what I'm going. I'm just going on notes. You know, I don't use a transcript. People say to me, that's a great program, Tex. Could I get the transcript? Could I buy a copy of the transcript? Well, you could if there was one, but we don't have transcripts here. I just talk on the notes. I do write down little things and make little notes and, you know, to help myself remember. But I guess I'm a walking history book. I've got all this information from the time I was a young man back in elementary school. I remember I gave a little talk on the Hiroshima and Nagasaki atomic bomb attacks on Japan. I think I was in the fifth grade. My teacher said, how did you know all that stuff? You know, she asked for, it's like show and tell. Each of the kids was to present something. And most of them would present, you know, some little deal that happened or they had a party at home or, you know, some silly thing. And I got up and said, well, I read this article on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And her eyes sort of glassed over. She said, you did? I said, yes, ma'am. And I got up and gave a report on it. How the people's bodies, many of them were victims. Their bodies melted and, oh, just terrible things. She was surprised. Then when I was, of course, in the sixth grade, I the same show and tell them. And the other boys brought things like their hobby airplanes, you know, these plastic planes they put together and all that. Well, I didn't have anything like that. Never had the money to buy things like that. But I did have an old book, a book on World War One. So I gave a report on World War One. Everybody was sort of shocked. I got up there and had this book. And did you know more people died? And here's a fact. Did you know more people died from sickness, from disease, than from the war? Oh, yeah. They had three times as many victims that died of disease than the war. These are soldiers. They went over to fight, but they died of disease. That was World War One. Boy, there was a lot of deaths that way. Well, that's what I learned back when. So, very interesting youth. And how did I get these books? Well, I had an older brother. He loved to read. I give Joe Morris credit, my brother. He's still alive. He's about 80 years old. He's still alive, but he would go to this bookstore. We had one bookstore in Beaumont, Texas, near our home. And he would go, it was called Noah's Ark. And it was old stuff. You'd go in there and have old books. And he'd come back with about 50 or 60 books. He'd buy them for a nickel or a dime each. Just old books, you know. Boy, I got into those books. And I was in the second, third grade, fourth grade. I was reading history books and reading about Russia and, you know, Stalin and Mao Zedong. A little bit later on, I read about Mao Zedong and how he took over China. But I read all these books and I was fascinated by all these stories. I was fascinated by all these things. Now, these were the used books, you know, that's what they were, the used books. We could not have possibly afforded to buy a new book. Never bought a new book. I don't think I had a new book till I was about 22, 23 years old, you know. But anyway, I had these used books. My brother used to read them. How did he get them? Well, he worked at a food store. He was a produce guy, and that's what he did. But every cent he got, he'd buy books. And he'd read the book, throw it away, and I'd grab it and read it myself. He also bought U.S. News and World Report, Newsweek, Time Magazine. I read every one of those things from cover to cover. I'd go to school, and I'd want to talk to kids about it. They wouldn't know anything about that. They would want to talk about baseball or, you know, some sport or their hobby aircraft or, you know, I don't know, whatever they want to talk about. But I always want to talk about books, but they didn't care about that kind of stuff. But I did. I guess that's why I'm a writer of books today. I'm still studying the books. In fact, I've got so many here that I want to write books on. I could write about 100 different subjects. I've got titles lined up, but I don't have time to write them all. That's the problem. I know that I got these books in my head. If I just had time to sit down and write, I could write a book every week, but I just don't have time. Wanda says, poor Tex. Poor Tex. The one thing he loves to do is read and write, and he can't do it. He doesn't have enough time. Well, okay, our phone number here is 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. You can get this book, Hidden History. Now, you can also go on our website. That's powerofprophecy.com or texmars.com. Now, my name is spelled different. It's T-E-X-C. That's because my mother couldn't spell. She used a midwife to deliver me. I told you I was poor, didn't I? And she couldn't spell either, so I was supposed to be called Texy, but now you don't tell anybody that. Please don't. I'm just Tex. T-E-X-E. My mother didn't know how to spell Texy. She didn't know whether to put an E-Y on the N or I-E or a Y or what. But so the midwife suggested, let's just put an E on it. My mother said, okay, name me Tex. I had an uncle. His real name was Peter, but they called him Tex because he was from Texas in World War II. He died in a ship sinking. All my family, you know, went in the military. They were all enlisted. But I went in enlisted, and I got an officer's commission right away and became an officer. Had more fun as an officer and got more money, too. Well, I even got my wife as an officer. That's right. I won a woman over, see? Wanda. I was all to the good. Well, our website, powerofprophecy.com, go there and get this book, Hidden History. And by the way, when you order this book, we'll give you our free newsletter. Free, absolutely free, for at least 6 months. Our address here, 1708 Patterson Road, P-A-T-T-E-R-S-O-N, Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Okay, let's return to our regular program. And we're talking about the shadow government and the deep state. I told you I was going to read this quote. Now, this was in a speech. You can get it, by the way, on Google. You can listen to this speech by John F. Kennedy. It's on Google now. Listen to what he said. There is a plot in this country to enslave every man, woman, and child. Before I leave this high and noble office, I intend to expose this plot. Wow. You know, the mainline press didn't tell us about that speech. But you can hear his voice giving it on Google. There's a plot in this country to enslave every man, woman, and child. Before I leave this high and noble office, I intend to expose this plot. But he died 7 days later. Who killed him? Well, we know the CIA and the FBI, components of the deep state of the shadow government, were involved. It appears the French government was involved, their intelligence service. It appears also that they had everybody involved. LBJ was involved. No doubt he was involved. Absolutely he was involved. Lyndon B. Johnson was involved. He became the president. Just an incredible thing. Now let's go back to the CIA and the deep state. They're out to get Donald Trump. You know they are. They have vowed to get him. They're going to try to disgrace him and get him impeached first. So they're all kind of lies. First of all, they tried to get him claiming that he had some kind of connections with Russia. He's colluding with Russia. Of course, that's total nonsense. But they think people will believe it. You see, Vladimir Lenin once said, a lie told often enough becomes the truth. That's what Lenin said. A lie told often enough becomes the truth. If they can tell us lies, we'll believe them. Eventually, it'll be true. And we'll all want Donald Trump out of office. We'll want him to be impeached. Sure you will. Within 6 months or a year, you're going to be hearing all these things about him. You're going to hear so many things. You're going to say, wow, that crud, that bad guy, that no good rat, he's got to be impeached. Yeah, that's right. Everybody will be clamoring. They start what they call a meme, M-E-M-E, a meme. Impeach him. Impeach him. You already hear Nancy Pelosi saying it. You hear Chuck Schumer saying it. You hear Maxine Waters, the congresswoman, the black woman from California. Impeach him. Impeach. He's only been in office less than 2 months, but they're already saying impeach him. They're going to say it so often, you're going to actually believe what they're saying. He's fighting it, of course. But it's an incredible thing. Let's talk about some other people. How about Howard Hughes? Remember Howard Hughes? Aircraft man, inventor of the several terrific aircraft. I think he actually, one of them was made of wood. It was incredible. But everybody knows Howard Hughes. They've got movies about him, movie stars, all kind of scandals about Howard Hughes back in the 70s, 60s. Well, it seemed that he built a ship. Actually, it was a submarine called the Glomar Explorer. He built it for the CIA, and this thing would go down into the ocean and bring back all kinds of things, secret things, like Russian submarines that had crashed or gone under. They could bring the submarine back up. Then there was Frank Olson. You probably don't know Frank Olson. He wasn't a famous name, but he's a medical doctor. It seems that Frank Olson was given too much LSD in an experiment. And he ended up jumping out of a window to his death, about, I think, seven stories below. That was a CIA project. Now, there's another CIA project, too, you want to know about. But I believe it was 1949. I believe that was the year. And they named the first Secretary of Defense, Mr. Forrestal. Forrestal, F-O-R-R-E-S-T-A-L. You might want to read about him, Google him up. Of course, he's dead. He jumped out of a building, too. In fact, he was in the hospital, Walter Reed Memorial Hospital, an Army hospital in Washington, D.C. They said he needed to go there because he was psychically tired. He needed a little rest. So they put him in the hospital. They locked him in his room, it seemed like. Now, how can they do that to the Secretary of Defense? But they did it. Truman, of course, was the president, and he agreed on it. Now, I want you to understand this. Secretary of Defense. He was the first Secretary of Defense. They used to call him the Secretary of War. But Mr. Forrestal had psychic problems. He needed some mental rest. I guess that Defense Department was just was too much of a hassle. So he was up on the, I don't know what floor, the 11th floor or something. And finally they said he was okay. The psychiatrist said he was really okay. He'd recovered. And he was going to be released. But about 2 hours before he was to be released, he decided to jump out of the window. And he did. He went crashing down and killed himself. He had to jump out of the window to get out of the room, to get out of the floor, to get out of the hospital. Why didn't he just wait a couple hours and hit a walk down free, a free man? Well, they wanted him dead. That's why they brought him there and said he's psychically tired. Nobody knew it at the time, though. His wife was told to shut up. His sons were told to shut up. But the Secretary of Defense was locked away in a hospital room from which he supposedly killed himself. They said he was quite an old man. It was very difficult. These windows at this old hospital are built sort of high. He really couldn't get up to the ledge. But he did. But some witnesses say they saw what looked like two men with him at the window with him. And then, of course, they saw him flying out. Who were those two men? Now, it seemed that Truman decided to recognize the state of Israel. And he told his staff, his cabinet, I'm going to do this. And the entire cabinet erupted in anger. They said, you can't do that. You're going to make all those Arabs mad. And Israel has been troublemakers. They've been stealing stuff from us as spies here in America. The Jews have been. You can't make them a separate nation. And Truman says, yes, that's what I'm going to do. And Forrestal was the biggest complainer. He said the Jews are thieves. They're spies. You can't make them a separate nation. Now, they didn't know that Truman had accepted a $2 million bribe in suitcases brought to his train. They didn't know that from the Jews, Truman had accepted that. We know that now from FBI reports. Now, why is it we just found that out of a couple of years ago? I reported it in my book, Conspiracy of the Six Stars. Now, think about that. They knew that Israel had paid, or the Jews at the time, high-ranking Jewish spies, had given Truman $2 million in suitcases, in cash. on campaign trains. Why wasn't that report, why wasn't the guys, the Jews, why weren't they arrested? And why wasn't the president arrested? Well, I think Forrestal must have found out about this, and he was arrested and skirted away to that hospital room from which he killed himself. Then over in Europe, there was another man named George Patton, General George Patton. He wrote a letter to his wife, and he said, what we're doing to the Germans after the war is terrible. He basically reported we're taking their homes away from them and giving them to Jews. The Jews are getting everything here in Germany, and these Germans are being cheated. And he knew also about how many Germans had been murdered and how the camps had been opened back up, and they were putting Germans in them and killing Germans. He said, I've got to report this to the American people. What's happening to the Germans? Now, he defeated the Germans. If it weren't for George Patton, we'd probably still be with our fighting today, 50, 60 years later. But he was a great general. He fought the war and won it for America, but then he wanted peace. He didn't want us to be butchers of the Germans, but a man named Morgenthau wanted him to be. And all of this was known by the CIA, or its predecessor. And George Patton said, I'm going to go back to America, and I'm going to tell everybody about this. I'm going to travel to the media and tell everybody. Well, they couldn't have that. He wasn't going to get back alive from Europe, and he was murdered. He was in a Jeep with his driver, and I think a truck hit him, and he was injured. And then when the report went to the hospital that they didn't kill him, they only injured him, then suddenly his vehicle was hit by another vehicle. He was hit by two. Then he lay in the hospital bed paralyzed, but he could still talk, and they planned to bring him back to an American hospital, but he died in about 2 or 3 weeks. I forget just how long he lasted. They said, this guy can't seem to die. We've attempted to kill him 3 times here, but he's still alive. So I guess they just went to his hospital room and just murdered him. Who killed Patton and Forrestal? We know the CIA had involvement in it. Now, the National Security Agency, they're able to wiretap everybody in America. They have incredible computers. And then they catalog it. Now, here's the deal. All of the information that the National Security Agency gets, the wiretapping everybody, their internet, people's internets, everything, it first goes, get this, to Israel. What? The National Security Agency information goes to Israel? They see the information before anybody else does. How can that be? Well, they do. You check it out, friends. You check it out. You'll find out. That's what happens. Their information goes first to Israel. How can Israel get all of our intelligence information even before our own president gets it? Now, there's another thing let me tell you about. Nixon knew about a lot of these things. He had also worked for the CIA, Richard Nixon, when he was a young man. He was president of the United States, and he knew the Jews were involved. Israel was involved in a lot of the CIA operations. And he knew that they were involved with the CIA and the FBI, and the deep state, the shadow government, had killed John F. Kennedy. And he had been briefed on it. He knew. And we now know that Richard Nixon had told his assistants, Ehrlichman and others, he said, I'm going to expose this. He was going to expose the murder of John F. Kennedy by Lyndon Johnson, by the state of Israel, by the CIA, by the FBI, by all of these deep state shadow government agencies and people. But he says, first we need the documentation, the documents proving it. And I know where they're at. And so, this is history. I'm telling you the truth. This is history. He got his plumbers team. These were ex-FBI agents, ex-CIA agents. They were no longer affiliated with these agencies. They're being paid by Nixon's people privately. And he and his people gave them orders. They were to go and break into the National Archives. There's a huge building in Washington, D.C., a gigantic building. It's on the front cover of my book, Mysterious Monuments. I'm serious. It's pictured on the front cover of my book, Mysterious Monuments, the National Archives. He says that's where they keep these documents of the John F. Kennedy assassination. But they won't let the American people read them. Did you know that's true, friends? they still have the documents. They say, well, we might let them out, what, 2025 or some, but then they've already got rid of all the important ones by now. I'm going to go there to the National Archives. I'm going to break into the National Archives with the plumber's team. Nixon told Haldeman and Ehrlichman, his two assistants, I'm going to steal these documents. Now, first of all, let me ask you a question, friend. Why does the President of the United States have to steal documents from the National Archives? Think about it. He's the President. There's no document in the United States. There's nothing secret that he doesn't see. We all vote for him. He's the only national official that we vote for. Why is it that he couldn't get them? Why didn't he just call the director of the National Archives and say, I want those documents over here in my office in 30 minutes. You get you a limousine and you get those documents over here on my desk right now. He couldn't. So they planned to break in. They found out when the director of the National Archives would be on vacation and how they could break into his safe. He had a safe hidden in his apartment inside the National Archives building. They were going to break into it. Nixon was going to steal National Archives documents that would have proven who killed John F. Kennedy. But they got to him. The problem was they were listening to the tapes. They were listening. They had wiretapped him. He had wiretapped everybody, but they had wiretapped his wiretap. They knew what he was going to do. And suddenly the plumbers were exposed. And we all knew about Watergate. Who exposed? Who was the deep throat in Watergate? Why, we found out that now it's a Mr. Felt, F-E-L-T. He was a deputy director of the FBI under J. Edgar Hoover. Check it out. He was the guy blabbering to Woodward and Bernstein on Watergate. And they got Nixon before they exposed him and they got rid of him and his vice president. They found out scandals that had existed on Spiro Agnew, the vice president, even before he became vice president. They already knew about it, and they were just waiting to release him. And they got rid of him. Then they got rid of Nixon. He was forced to resign. And the documents stayed in the safe at the National Archives, and they still sit there to this very day. Could Donald Trump see them? No. Did Obama see them? Probably not. And neither did the other presidents, unless they were part of the deep state shadow government conspiracy. How can that be? Maybe they don't know anything about these scandals. Maybe they don't know who did 9-1-1. Maybe the presidents themselves don't know anything at all about what happened at Oklahoma City. What happened with all of these horrible things. Maybe they don't know about Americans torturing these victims in prison camps around the world. Maybe they don't know because they're not high up in the hierarchy. Well, who is? Who is high up in the hierarchy to know? And are they going to kill our president? We better find out about the deep state. We better expose the shadow government. It exists. It's real. And the media all work for them. What do you think? They're lying and lying and lying to us. There's no truth in these media. They have Operation Mockingbird. That's right. The CIA has something called Operation Mockingbird. And don't you know all the media? Anderson Cooper of CNN? Why, he worked for the CIA. Oh, yes, he did. William F. Buckley, the famous William F. Buckley, the conservative. Yes, he worked for the CIA. It goes on and on and on. We are enslaved. It happened just like John F. Kennedy said it would 7 days before he was shot in the head. It's the shadow government, the deep state. They operate today. They're our enemy. I'm Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. My hope, dear friends, is you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.